Thank you, Dr. Fred. Hi, my name is Pastor Dwayne Barrett. I'm the Associate Pastor of Word and Spirit Church in Bremerton, Washington, here in the great Pacific Northwest. And it's good to be with you this evening. I'm so excited. I don't get to do this very often, but when I do, I just get all pumped up. Senior Pastor Don Kiley is enjoying some quality family time this weekend with his, and so I just have the privilege of sharing with you tonight. And I just think we're all going to be blessed. Amen? So grab your Bible and let's get ready. Tonight I'd like to share with you about what God is not, and the fact that God is not the source of your trouble. He's your answer, and He's your power over that trouble. Amen? So get your Bible. Let's go. First place I want to turn to is Daniel chapter 11. I'll give you a moment to get there. Daniel chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 32 when you get there. Amen? Okay, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits or notable deeds. You know, we need to know our God. A lot of people go to church but never know their God. They know what the pastor has told them about him. They know what they've read about him. They know what they've heard other people say about him, but they don't know their God. They don't have a personal relationship with their God, and so they don't know him. I'm going to read to you verse 32 from Daniel chapter 11 again. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits and do notable deeds. I want you to understand that it said those who know their God, not those who know about their God. They must have a personal, day-to-day relationship with their living God. I want the people in my church, our church, and those of you listening to this message somewhere else tonight, to understand and to know that our God is a good God. He's not a bad God. The devil is bad. But God is a good God. Good God, bad devil. I want you to remember that. Good God, bad devil. Turn with me now, if you will, to John chapter 10. And I'm going to begin at verse 10. That's St. John chapter 10, verse 10. And I want to read what it says there. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, who do you think the thief is here? It sure as heck isn't God. It's the devil. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's all he's ever meant to do. Let me continue. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Nah, but I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. The thief here, he's the devil. He stole eternal life from mankind in the Garden of Eden when he deceived Adam and Eve into eating from the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he's been deceiving mankind ever since. And that's why people need to know their God, and they need to know what their God is not. And their God is not the thief. He is not mean. He is not ornery. He is not the cause of your trouble. He's the source of the power to overcome your trouble. My God is a good God. In James chapter 1, I'll give you a moment to get there. James chapter 1, that's near the end of the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, just let me read that again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. My God is a good God. He gives good gifts, and His gifts are perfect gifts. Do you understand that? He doesn't give bad gifts. He doesn't do evil. He doesn't give us mean things. I mean, how many of us, as a father, if my son came to me and asked me for a bicycle for his birthday, would I give him a rock or a lump of coal? No, I'm going to give him the bicycle if I can in any way at all afford to do so. I'm a good father, and my God in heaven, my Father God, He is so much greater than any natural father ever could be. You know, it really irks me that so many people have this terrible image in their minds of a God who is angry and short-tempered and very impatient, and He's just waiting for them to make a mistake so He can pounce on them. Let me tell you something. That's not my God. That's not our God. That's not Father God in heaven. Father God, Abba God, Abba Daddy is a good God, and He just loves to do good for His people. Yes, He'll let us screw up even. He'll let us make mistakes because He's a good Father, and He wants to comfort us when we do. But because these people feel like this, they never talk to Him. They never call on Abba Daddy. They never find out what He's really like. And they find it very difficult to approach Him because they've got this nasty, terrible image of Him that's not real. And it's a lie from the pit of hell, from the devil himself. He's the father of all lies, and He'll lie to you. He'll do everything He can to keep you from understanding that God is not the source of your trouble. He is the devil. Oh, it's terrible. Let me tell you what the real truth is about our God. In Psalm chapter 145, beginning with verse 8, I'm going to read to you from Psalm 145, beginning with verse 8. It says, "The Lord is gracious, and He's compassionate. He's slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to everyone and has compassion for everything that He has made." You understand, God made not only mankind, but all of creation. He made the heavens and the earth that we live in today, this beautiful planet that man is trying to destroy. God made that for us. He wanted us to be happy, and He wanted us to have good things. There's a verse in the Bible where it says, "He daily loadeth us with blessings." Oh, every morning when I wake up, one of the first things I do is I thank God for all the good things He's done in my life. I thank God that I have another day that I can breathe. Oh, hallelujah. He gave me the very breath of life that I might live. Hallelujah. And He's a good God. That's what He wants from us. He doesn't want to hear us complain and whine about everything that's going on around us. That's being caused by the devil. If you want to complain, complain to Him about it. But don't complain to God. You need to thank God for all the good things He's done for you. You know, the other thing that bothers me is there's so many people out there today that they feel God is a God of denominations, or that He's a denominational God, that He belongs to this denomination or that denomination or this church or that church. And that because of that, He looks on all the other churches and groups as if they were second-class citizens. I'm going to tell you something. That's a lie from the pit of hell. My God is a good God, and He is an all-inclusive God, and he does not have favorites. If you'll turn with me now for a moment to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. The Bible says God is a God of all flesh. And you know what? It doesn't even distinguish between sinner flesh or believer flesh. I'm talking about whether you know God and you're born again and going to heaven, or whether you're just one of the heathens out there in the world that don't believe in God. The Bible doesn't distinguish between you. God doesn't distinguish between your flesh. He is a God of all flesh. In Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning with verse 26, if you're there, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything that is too hard for me?" No, there is nothing that is too hard for our God. Our God is a good God. Our God is an all-powerful God. Our God is an everywhere God. He loves everybody, everywhere, all the time, all the same. He has no favorites. My God loves me just as much as he loves you. He loves you just as much as he loves Dr. Fred. And we all are loved beyond what we could ever imagine by our God. People have all kinds of strange ideas about what God is and what he is, what he's all about and what he wants to do. But you really need to know what God is not. To really know God, we really need to realize what God is and what God is not also. We need to know what God doesn't do and what he won't do and what he can't do. We need to know God personally. I can tell you one thing. God is not the one that sends all the trouble to you. God is not the one who sends all the storms that toss and turn your life. Oh, God is not the one that sends all that stuff to you. God is a good God with good gifts for his children. Amen? And if you don't know that, you need to learn it. God is not the one who sends the sickness and diseases that try to plague your bodies. No, that's not God. That comes from the devil. But you say, Pastor Duane, I was taught that God put sickness and disease on me to teach me things. Well, let me tell you something. That's just hogwash. And that's nothing but old witches' tales and wives' tales and lies straight from the pit of hell, from the devil himself. No, none of us who have ever raised children or are currently raising them would ever think of putting sickness and disease on our children or doing anything else to them to harm them, to teach them something. My goodness, would I take my son's hand and put it on a hot burner to teach him the burner's hot? Are you kidding me? No way. Would I put sickness and disease or cancer or something like that on my son to teach him something? No way. We rather try to protect our kids from harm. We try to shield them from the things that could hurt them. We would put ourselves in harm's way to protect our children. If we would do that, what do you think our Heavenly Father's like? He's a much better God than any earthly father ever thought to be. Now, but you know, people out there don't understand that. There are people out there that think God puts cancer and leukemia and all other kinds of sickness and disease on them to teach them a lesson. Why, there's even a person out there in a wheelchair that I've heard that believes God put them there so they could teach others about God from their wheelchair. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And it was the devil himself who put them in that wheelchair. And it's the devil who's lied to them about why they're in that wheelchair. But because they don't know their God, they only know about him, they believe those lies. And so they go around trying to tell people that God put them in that wheelchair to teach them a lesson and so they could teach others about it. Oh, God will use them in the condition they're in. And he'll use them for his good. The Bible says that God uses all things to good. But that doesn't mean that he caused what happened to them, put them in that wheelchair. No way. Uh-uh. God didn't do that. That was from the devil. Or something stupid they did themselves. Come on now. We do stupid things to ourselves. You know, just a couple months ago, I'm remodeling my bathroom. And I stuck my hand in my table saw. No, God stuck my hand in. No, let me tell you something. The devil didn't do it, but God didn't do it. I did it to myself. I did a stupid thing, and I got my hand in my table saw, and I had to stop working on my bathroom for a while and get my hand healed. But God protected me when that happened. I could have taken my hand off. I had the blade up so high. But no, I only got a little cut on a couple of fingers. Had to go get a couple of stitches, and I was fine. In fact, they healed up in no time at all. By 3 days after I did it, I would back out cutting stuff again, working on my bathroom. That's how good my God is. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, God will use you in the condition you're in, no matter what you think. No matter what caused what happened. Yeah, God will take that bad stuff that happened to you, and he'll turn it around, and he'll use it for his good to help bless somebody else somehow. But he didn't cause what happened, no. People believe that God allows them to do drugs and alcohol and live in all kinds of strange and alternate lifestyles. And that's okay because God allows it. And God allows them to do it. Maybe he's doing it to teach them something. But God allows it. It's okay. You know, we've got a big force on going on right now trying to legalize what people call gay marriage. Well, ain't nothing gay about homosexuality. And God doesn't condone it at all. His Bible is very, very, very explicit about that. I don't want to go there. That's another speech, another time. But it's true. God allows them to do whatever they want to do. He gave us a free will. He told us he wouldn't force anything on us. In fact, over in Deuteronomy, he told us, I have set before you life and death. You choose. See, he gave us a choice. But then he comes to him and he said, choose life, though, because it's good for you. He gave us a choice, but he told us which choice to make. And still, we don't make the right choices. But God's a whole lot better than the fathers of this world are. And we wouldn't do that kind of stuff to our children. We wouldn't hurt them. We wouldn't put sickness and disease on them to try and teach them something. No, he's a good God, people. I'm telling you right now, God is a good God. You know, when I was a heathen, before I let God take over my life, there was a lot of things and a lot happened in my life. Good things, bad things. But, you know, when the good things happened, that was great. I took credit for that. When the bad things happened, yeah, I blamed God. But I didn't know my God then. I didn't know God was a good God. See, we need to know that he's a good God. And we need to know who he's not. And he's not the source of our trouble. He's not the source of our problems. Amen? Come on now, could I have a better amen than that? I couldn't hear any of you. You got to speak up so I can hear you. The radio's a long ways away, folks. And then there are people who believe it's God's will to heal some and to deliver some, but it's not his will to heal and deliver all. They don't know their God. Or they know the wrong God, little g. You know, the Bible says that the devil's the god of this world, little g, because he stole it from Adam and Eve in the garden. They show their lack of ignorance and their lack of understanding of the Bible and what it says about God. They display their ignorance of the fact that they just don't understand the Bible. Maybe they haven't even read it. If you haven't read it, there's no way you can possibly understand it. You got to spend time in it. Hallelujah. Then, of course, the devil, he'll always come along and he'll say to you, you know, you're not the one that he's chose to heal. Or, you're not the one he's chose to deliver. You know, when you know your God, you know his voice. And when you know his voice and you hear those kind of things, you know it's not God talking to you. You know it's the devil. And you look at him, if you could see him, if you could see into the spirit, and you say, Satan, get thee behind me. Now, don't you dare believe those lies from the devil. Don't you dare believe that he says it's not God's will to heal some, you know. That's not true. There isn't a single instance in the New Testament where someone came to God or came to Jesus and asked for healing either for themselves or for somebody else in which Jesus didn't heal them. He healed every single time, every single person that ever came to him in faith, believed, and asked for healing. I dare you to find me an instance in the Bible where he didn't heal. Because I sure can't find it. No, my God is a good God and he heals all and he delivers all. Amen? I said amen? In my previous life, I say previous life because I was born again. If I was born again, I've got a new life. In my previous life, when I was a heathen, before I knew God, I was one of those who thought God sent the sickness and disease, and that God sent the trouble that I got into all the time, and that God sent the heartaches and the sadness. And you know, I had to get all of that out of me. In fact, I couldn't do it. God had to change my thinking. He had to erase my programming and reprogram my mind. And I thank God for His Holy Ghost and His teaching and guiding and the revelation of the Word of God. He did more for me in the first 2 years after I gave my life to him than had happened to me in the previous 41 years. God erased all of that nasty programming, and he reprogrammed me, and he helped me understand his word. Now, I've heard some people, you know, I've actually heard them, they get mad at God and they say, God, why did you send this on me? Or God, why do I have AIDS? Or God, why do I have this disease? God, why do I have this in my life? God, why did you let this happen to me? God, why? Well, you know, I heard this one the other day. You know, well, you know, God took so-and-so home today. Let me tell you something. God didn't take him home. He welcomed him home. That is, if they were a Christian, born again. But he didn't take them home. Did you know there's a devil loose in this world? And it's his purpose to kill, steal, and destroy? No, it's probably the devil that took him home, or some sickness and disease that came from the devil. You know, there was no sickness and disease in the world until Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And that opened the door for Satan and all of his wiles to come in. God didn't do it. God didn't kill that person. God's wish for us is to us that we live a long and normal life and complete our race with him. Amen. No, God didn't do it. God is not the troublemaker. He's not the source of your trouble. He's not the source of your problems. But I'll tell you something. You have an enemy out there that is. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, I like to use scripture here. I don't want to lead someone astray thinking that they're getting all of just what I think. No, what I think comes from the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's begin with verse 5. Okay, are we there yet? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. Notice that. If you're prideful, God resists you. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, that word humble there doesn't mean that you have to be on your knees, groveling, not have any money. No, humble just means that you're willing to place yourself before God and let him do with your life what you want, what he wants to do with it. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, when you humble yourself before God, he will exalt you. When I gave my life to God and decided to follow him and let him run my life, it was a very short matter of time in which he started to exalt me within the church I'm in now. I came up from just becoming a brand new believer to now being the associate pastor in the church in a very few short years. Why? Because I'm great? Because I'm good? Absolutely not. This is the last thing that I thought I would ever be doing, was helping pastor a church. But my God saw someone that was willing to lay his life down and pick up the life of Jesus and do what he was asked to do. And that God then began to exalt me. That's why I'm where I'm at. I live the life that Jesus lives, and that's the only reason that I'm where I'm at today. Let's go back where we're at. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. You know, before I retired from my civilian job about 6 years ago, I had an in-basket and an out-basket and a hold basket for work on my desk. People would come in and they'd put work that needed to be done in the in basket. And when I would get it, I'd review it and put it down in the hold basket if I couldn't work it. And if I could work it, I'd work it. And then as soon as it was done, I'd put it in the out basket. Well, after I gave my life to God, I added one more basket to that rack of baskets. I added a basket that was labeled things for Jesus to do. And whatever I had a problem that needed help that I couldn't do, I put that in that basket. And once I put something in that basket that's things for Jesus to do, I don't take it back out. It's now his worry, not mine. And you think, well, that's funny, you know, at a real job you didn't. Well, yeah, I never really put any real work in there that was the job's work. But I put my work, my personal things that I couldn't handle, that I needed help with. I put them in that basket. And once I put them in there, I left them and I let Jesus take care of them. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary is the devil. Notice that. It's not God. Your adversary is the devil. Walks about. And actually one translation said he roams about. He roams the face of the earth. Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice whom he may devour. Not who he will devour. If we stand fast before him, he's not going to devour us. Let me continue with the verse. Seeking whom he may devour, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, listen to me. There's a devil loose out there in this world, and he has millions of his little demons out there with him trying to destroy you. But the Bible says, if I'll stand fast in my faith and resist the devil, he can't have me. He can't touch me. And you need to realize that the devil and all those demons that he brought with him when he fell, you know, a third of the angels fell with him when he was cast out of heaven because they followed him instead of God. And so those are those demons out there with him now. And you need to realize that they're the source of your troubles, not God. God has twice as many, two-thirds of the angels stayed with him. God has twice as many good angels that he's provided for us so that they can minister to us and for us who are heirs to salvation. Now that heirs to salvation means those of us who are born again, those of us who have given our lives to Jesus and asked Jesus to be the Lord of our lives and have truly submitted ourselves to him and let him be our Lord. Those angels are out there to minister for us, and they minister to us. I'll tell you what. There are angels around me wherever I go. There are angels around my dwelling. There are angels around my car when I drive down the street. I even spoke to the angels that were ministering to me when it was time to buy the house I'm in. I sent forth my ministering angels to make sure that my bid went through above everybody else's. And you know what? I got the house that I spoke that over because my ministering angels did just that. All the other bids were pulled back except mine. Praise God. I know my God. I know what he says he'll do, and I know he'll do it if he says he'll do it. Praise God. God is good, amen? I tell you, we have to stand our ground against the powers of darkness. A lot of people out there are fighting for their lives. A lot of people out there are in divorce courts, and they're in foreclosure courts. And a lot of people out there are in all kinds of trouble, every kind of trouble, and they're just thinking that it's God that's causing it, and they're blaming him for what's happening to them instead of blaming their actual enemy, the devil, or themselves. You know, a divorce, a marriage only works if the two people that are involved in it work the marriage. The marriage doesn't work itself. You have to work your marriage. My wife and I have been married 41 years, and it's been a work. But we love each other, and love is one thing that keeps it together. Hallelujah. So instead of blaming God for what's happening to them, they need to blame their enemy, the devil, because he's really the one causing the trouble, and he's really the one that's keeping the trouble coming. And they do this, though, because they don't know their God. You know, you can't know your God if you're not taught, but you got to be teachable. You need to realize that God has given you authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to defeat the enemy and drive him away. Now, you only have that authority if you know your God. You only have that authority if you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You only have that authority if you personally fellowship with him from day to day. Just because you know about him doesn't give you that authority. Hallelujah. And just because you have the authority to defeat the enemy and to drive him away. Doesn't mean that he's going to just go passively away when you speak to him. No, you're going to have to stand your ground. And when you've stood your ground, you're going to have to stand some more, because he's going to continue to try and come against you every which way he can. If he can't come against you directly, he'll come against you through a family member. No, he's not going to go away automatically. You're going to have to stand up and resist the enemy. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 4. That's James chapter 4. And I'm going to read from verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, that's what the Word of God says. But I want you to notice here that there's three parts or actions that take place in this verse. First of all, you must submit to God. Second, you must resist the devil. And third, the devil will then flee from you. Now, notice that you have two parts to do, and you have to do them in that order. You have to submit to God. A lot of people don't want to submit to God because they're afraid he'll make them change their lifestyle and do things they don't want to do, or make them stop doing the things they like to do. Well, you know what? God won't make you do anything, but he'll suggest changes to you. And if you're submitted to him, it's probably good that you do the things he suggests. But just because he changes your life doesn't mean your life's going to not be enjoyable anymore. You know, he changed my life a whole lot after I gave my life to him. I mean, he asked me to give up a lot of things I liked, but he gave me a lot of new things that I can like. And I'm 3-4 times as happy now as I was before, because I know my God, and because I know where I'm going when I die. I know I have a place in heaven, where before I had no idea what was happening, where I was going to go, or what was going to happen. No, therefore submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Does that mean he's going to run in terror the very first time you say something? Absolutely not. He's going to fight, and you're going to have to fight. But you know what? I know the end of the story. I know I win. We need to know who our God is not. Our God is not our troublemaker, people. Our God is always a good God. The Bible says in John chapter 1, let's go to John chapter 1, St. John chapter 1. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. Have I seen God? No, I've seen visions, but, you know, I haven't seen God. No one has known God at any time. No one has seen God at any time. I've known God. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, though. The Amplified Bible says it this way. I like this in the Amplified. He has brought him out, Jesus has brought God out where he may be seen. He has revealed him. Jesus has revealed God. Jesus has made him God known. He has interpreted him. Jesus has brought God out where he may be seen. Jesus has revealed God. Jesus has made God known. Jesus has interpreted God to us. That's what it says. So if you want to know God, and you want to know what God's like, hey, you need to get out your Bible. You need to read, study, and meditate the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and find out who Jesus was, is, and what he did. Because what Jesus is, does, and did reveals what the Father is like for us. That's how we come to know the Father God. We come to know Jesus. Jesus came to declare the Father to us. And if you know Jesus, you know the Father. Jesus came to declare the Father to us, who he was, what he did, and how he lived, his very nature. That's how Jesus declared the Father to us. So in order to know God and know his will for your life, you must first know Jesus and his will for your life. You need to get that Bible out, dust it off, open it up to the first four books of the New Testament, sit down, and begin to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus already, then you need to get born again so that God can reveal the scripture to you, because there's a lot more written in the Bible than the eyes see when they read the pages. God reveals to you when you read through his Holy Spirit. It's called revelation knowledge, what he really wants you to know there. I can read the same set of scriptures time after time, and each time God will show me something new in them, something different, some new insight into what he was talking about. Amen. So you need to know God. You need to be born again. Hallelujah. For Jesus' will is the will of the Father. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I want to start at verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." You know, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Now, Philip was able to physically see Jesus. You know, that was 2012 years ago, folks. Can I physically see Jesus now? No. Can I see Jesus? Yes, absolutely. I can see him in the scriptures. I can read about him in the scriptures. And just like when you read other books, you're able to visualize what the text is telling you. And you can build your own. I can build my own image of Jesus. And I know what he looks like. I know what he talks like. I understand his voice. And I can differentiate between his voice and the voice of the evil one. Because, number one, if it doesn't line up with the scripture, it ain't Jesus talking to me. It must be the evil one. Let me continue this verse. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus was telling these people, if you've seen me, my goodness, you've seen the Father, because I am the divine expression of the Father here on the earth. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. If you've seen those works, you've seen the Father. The works of Jesus were the works of the Father, and they were all good works. There were no bad works. I'll say this again. In the New Testament, if you can find one scripture where Jesus did something bad or didn't heal someone when they came to him to be healed, I want you to let me know, because I want to read it, because my Bible doesn't have it in it. Amen. Now we see that God is a good God. Jesus said in John 17, give you a moment there, John 17. Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We need to realize that if we know Jesus, then we know the Father God. We need to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ has not lost his power. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Write that down and look it up. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Do you know that God has the power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that works in us? Yeah, that's scripture, folks. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. The power that is at work in us, those of us who are born again, those of us who've made Jesus the Lord of our lives, we have the divine Trinity Godhead living inside of us. Not just Jesus living in me. I have the Holy Ghost in me. He's the power. And I have the Father God living in me. And because of that, He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ever think you might ask according to that power. Did you know that with God all things are possible? I already said I couldn't do what I'm doing today if it wasn't for God. I had no idea He was going to call me into the ministry. All I knew was that one day I decided I needed God in my life, and I asked Him into my life, and my life changed. And when it changed, the next thing I know, He's made a minister out of me. He makes a minister out of everybody that he brings into His kingdom. All believers are ministers of the gospel, whether they know it or not. Not all are preachers. Not all are pastors. Not all are prophets even, or apostles. But some of us are, because that's what He's called us to do. Amen? Did you know, though, that with God all things are possible? If you look it up in Mark chapter 10, verse 20, or verse 27, rather, you'll find that He says, with God all things are possible. I can't do all things myself, but with God all things are possible. I just did a major remodel of my master bathroom, and for the first time ever in my life, I put down floor tile, and I tiled a shower, and I had never done that, and I'll tell you what, my wife and I think it's absolutely beautiful, because with God all things are possible. I just prayed and asked God, show me the way, show me how to do this, show me how to find instructions, where to ask questions, and He just empowered me to do the most beautiful job ever. We are totally happy with it. Amen. Now, there are some things you need to know if you're going to get rid of the devil in your life and what he's trying to do. Now, it may not look like he's gone just because you use the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you know Jesus and Jesus is in you and you use the name of Jesus, the devil has to leave. He has to obey that name because Jesus brought him to naught and conquered him, paraded him around hell and made a show of him openly, and then he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave right out of his hands, folks. If you're born again and you have the right to use the name of Jesus, but if you're not born again, you don't have that right. See, because you have to know your God, and to know your God, you've got to be born again. You got to be careful if you don't know your God. You got to be careful if you don't have the legal right to use His name. See, when my wife and I got married, she got the legal right to use my name. When I married Jesus, I got the legal right to use His name. But if you don't have that legal right, you can get in trouble. Yeah, there in the book of Acts, there's a story about the sons of Sceva. Sceva was a chief priest, and they didn't have the right to use the name of Jesus because they didn't know Him, but they decided to try to do it. And what it says there in Acts chapter 19, verses 14 through 16, it says, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so, used the name of Jesus. And the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was in leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I have to impress on you people that you must know your God personally and not just know about Him. Knowing about Him doesn't give you any power or right to use His name. You know, my wife and I, early on in our ministry, had the opportunity to cast a devil out. And it's really interesting. We couldn't do that on our own. But the power of God working within us, we were able to do that. And it was awesome. But we could have ended up like the sons of Sceva had we not known our God. Okay, now I'm going to give you four things that you need to realize if you're going to know your God and be victorious over the devil and get the devil out of your life. So you need to get a paper and pencil, and I want you to write these down so you can go back and look this stuff up later. See, you need to understand that God is not the source of your troubles. That's number one, because He's the source of your power. You need to know these four things. Number one, first and foremost, you need to know your God and that you've been removed from out of the devil's kingdom and placed into God's kingdom when you receive Jesus as Lord. That you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. Now, if you're not born again, then you need to give your life to the Lord Jesus and not be ashamed to be his witness. You need to say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to make you the Lord of my life. Yes, Jesus, I'm a sinner, but you died for sinners. I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and save me. And then when you do that, don't act like it didn't happen. Go out and tell people about it. Let him be the Lord of your life and begin to make those changes in your life that need to be made. I didn't say you make the changes. I said, let him make the changes. And wherever you go, you need to tell people that Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is my Lord. That's why I'm talking to you here tonight. All right, number two, you need to realize that when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and first and then as Savior, that all your past has been erased. God said in Hebrews 10:17, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I'm going to read that to you again. Hebrews 10:17, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. See, when I got born again, everything I'd ever done in my past, God erased it because I'm now a brand new creature. I'm a son of God, and I have no past beginning now. You see, if the devil brings up all your past and condemns you with it, and you believe him, then you won't have any authority because you'll be so condemned. But the Bible says that he made Jesus to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So you need to realize if Jesus is now your Lord, then your past is gone. You say, well, I have so many skeletons of things past in my closet. No, you don't. When Jesus died and rose again for you, he opened every single closet, swept every single closet out clean, and your closets are clean. Now hear me, I said your closets are clean. So number two, you need to realize that your past has been erased. He said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Number three, you need to resist the devil. Yep, we've seen that earlier in James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. First thing you got to do is submit to God. That's number one. Then you got to resist the devil, number two, and then he'll flee from you. Does that mean he's going to run in terror the first time you say something? Absolutely not. You're going to have to fight. Before you can resist the devil, you must be submitted to God. He must be the Lord of your life. You must have made God your Lord. You must have gotten born again, received Jesus, and believed on him. If you're going to resist the devil, you're going to have to be sure that any sins you have committed after you've made Jesus your Lord have been made right with God. If you have unconfessed sins or unforgiveness in your life after you become a Christian, you need to get them out. You cannot be submitted to God if you have unconfessed sin or unforgiveness in your life. How many of you have made mistakes since you became a Christian? My hand's up. Come on now. But when you face the devil and you've got an unconfessed sin or unforgiveness in your life, you've given the devil an open door. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, we're talking to Christians here, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've closed the door against the devil. Number four, you need to know that you have a right to use the name of Jesus and that you have power in that name. My wife has power in my name. She has legal right to use my name, and I have legal right to use the name of Jesus because I'm married to him. I gave him my life. Whatever you command the devil to do in the name of Jesus, according to the word, he has to do it. I said he has to do it. Really, I didn't say that. The Bible did. Doesn't matter how it looks or how you feel. When you command in the name of Jesus, the devil must obey that name. You know, when I went to Africa in 2003 and 2005 with Pastor Don on a mission trip, my wife said at night she would cuddle up with the pillow that I normally used because she could smell my scent on it. She missed me. I wasn't there, but I'd been there. When you command the devil to go, he goes. Now, he may leave some of his nasty smell behind him. He does have a nasty smell, folks. But all that proves is that he has been there. Doesn't mean he's still there anymore. Okay, let's do a quick review. Number one, you need to know for sure you're born again and who is the Lord of your life. Number two, you need to know for sure that your past is gone and understand that God has erased all that past. Hebrews 10:17 says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Number three, you need to keep sin and unforgiveness out of your life and make sure it's out so you'll be clean. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to do that on a regular basis. Number four, you need to know your rights and the power that is yours as a child of God and then use that power. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And in John chapter 14, verse 13, it says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I told you four things you need to do. You need to do the first one right now if you haven't already. If you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus is your Lord, then you need to make him your Lord. I need you to pray this prayer from your heart and repeat out loud after me. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. I repent of all ungodliness and sin. I ask you to cleanse me now of all unrighteousness. I turn my back on the devil. From this day on, you are my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, all of heaven is rejoicing for you right now. You see, because Jesus has got to be the Lord of your life. You've got to be born again to receive everything that he has for you. God loves you. He wants you to come to him, and he wants you to ask him to be your Lord. He wants to lead and guide you through life. He's a good God, not a bad God. It's easy to do. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do. It's so easy, most people don't understand it. They think, how can just opening my heart and asking Jesus to be my Lord change my life? Trust me. Do it. Just trust me. It's by faith. Do it. If you haven't done it, do it. Your life will be changed forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, like I said, if you prayed that prayer with me, all of heaven is rejoicing right now. Be sure, if you enjoyed this broadcast, that you find a way to bless Dr. Fred and his ministry for keeping this broadcast on the air. And I want you to check out our website at www.wordandspiritchurch.com. Make sure you use .com because we have a sister church at .org down in Tennessee, and it's not us, but use .com, www.wordandspiritchurch.com. We have lots of teachings out there to listen to. There's links to videos that Pastor Don has done, and, you know, it's awesome, awesome stuff for you. And we want to thank you for having me here tonight, and I want to wish you all a good evening. And before I sign off, if there's anybody out there that I just keep getting this, that you feel that God hates you, that he doesn't want to do anything for you. You know, I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray that you'll hear the voice of God, because the voice of God does not speak like that. I would pray that God would silence your ears to any voice other than his, and that you would come to know your God and understand that he's a good God, that he's not a God that causes your troubles. He's the source of your power, and he's the source of your victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Dr. Fred, are you there?
I thank God for Voice of Truth Radio and Voice of Truth TV here on Walk with Christ Gospel Radio. We're having put in the links up on the front cover of walkwithchristgospelradio.com, and we have a link to Voice of Truth TV, and we will have the link up to Voice of Truth Radio. It's going around the world. The radio is already, and so is the TV. And the radio station, Voice of Truth Radio, has listeners all the way from the armed forces in Afghanistan.
Amen.
Around the United States. And it's exciting, Pastor. It really is.
I was just so excited that he asked me to cover for him tonight that I was beside myself. It's just been a pleasure to be here.
I have been how far this would go, but it's in all the countries of the world.
Oh, my Lord. I am so glad.
Amen, amen. We love you all. Thank God for you all, and thank you for allowing us to do this for you, because this is the Word of God. We're grateful for that.
Amen. I just thank you for having us on your show. That's awesome, you know. That we can.
You're welcome. I am blessed. I thank God for y'all. You know, you are such a blessing.
Well, that's good. I'm going to sign off now, and I want to thank you for having me, especially. I know Pastor Don's usually here, and he'll be back next week. He just needed to spend some quality time with family, and that well deserved time.
Amen. Amen. And we'll keep on going. The hurricane's not close to us, but I said, well, keep on broadcasting hurricane there, no, in Jesus' name.
Well, let's just step outside and point your finger at that thing and tell it has to turn. Amen?
Amen. Amen. We've commanded the winds to go and the storm to go in Jesus' name.
Amen. I agree with you, amen. Brother. And you know, the Word says that where two or more agree in His name, it happens.
Amen. Amen. We've got another broadcast to go to, so we must be off for now. We'll
okay.
See you soon, okay?
Have a wonderful evening.
You too.